Sometimes I wish we didn't have such a, figured out service. That's one thing in the small congregations that you served in. You could be a little more free. I think sometimes I'm probably too free for some, and sometimes I'm probably not free enough for others. I didn't have the boldness to ask Connie to stay at the piano because I figured we probably sang enough songs, but I really wish that we had sung a song. I know who holds tomorrow. There are a lot of struggles and tragedies in our lives. There's a lot of victories in our lives too. We can't forget that part. But the fact of it is that we go through difficult times. And today is just one day that we turn around and we remember those that have gone on before. But the fact of it is the family members have remembered each and every day. And all of us have different individuals in our lives that have probably gone on, and we remember them. And so when we turn around, we start to realize, I really don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what it holds. We can be living life in one direction and thinking everything is just perfect and rosy, but then all of a sudden, it can change. I don't know about tomorrow. But the one thing that we are promised through the Word, we know who holds tomorrow. And so with that encouragement, I want to read from the book of Revelation, and you can stay seated. Let's remain comfortable. This is not a gospel text. We're going to read from Revelation, and we're going to read from chapter 7. And for many of the individuals that I had the opportunity to share at the message of the burials with the families, you've heard this. I do speak on this every time at a burial service. I think it is so important to understand what is being said here. And it was in the church calendar text, so I felt very moved to speak on this today. So Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, reading through verse 17, reading in Jesus' name. After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might unto our God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answering said to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence they came? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have had their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall any sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne will feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, this day and every day, henceforth. Amen. As we talked about tomorrow, we don't know. I'm sure that each and every one of us can remember different times in our life where we thought things were going in a certain direction, and all of a sudden, it changes. I know there's been tragedies that we've dealt with before. I still remember even one of the tragedies of one of our dear sisters in Painesdale Church that was taken from us. And I remember I came here, and I was coming here, actually, I was coming here for a Lucky meeting. And when I walked in, everybody was so sober and quiet. And I remember asking, well, what's going on? And sometimes I'm not the brightest. Sometimes I make jokes when they're not proper. But even I knew something was going on here. And then it was just indicated to us that dear sister had been killed, Teresa Wagner, in a car accident in Green Bay. You don't know. The weeks that followed in my life even were a blur, being there with Jay and Adam down in the hospital. Can you imagine his? Now take even in your life any tragedy and difficulty and turn around and say to yourself, how can this even be? But the fact of it is that we do live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is difficult and it has struggles. But we do not remain focused upon the difficulty. If we did that, we would be most miserable. But the greatest thing that we can understand is no matter what, in and through these difficulties, there is a victorious side. That Jesus Christ has conquered hell, death, and the devil. That we no longer have to sit there in our morbid state worrying about the outcome. And that is one of the greatest things that we can see in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ to John. It is a book of hope. It is a book of hope and restoration that oftentimes we miss. Because in our day and age, we have a lot of people that like to write books or get on the radio and come up with something new. They like to come up with something new and they like to bring it to us to bring fear to our lives, hoping that we're going to change our ways and buy their book. But the fact of it is, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. It is a singular revelation. And the fact of it is, it brings about one great event. No matter what may take place in this world, no matter what may go on, we come out winners in Jesus Christ. That's what it speaks. Oftentimes we get scared. We see all the imagery. We see how John describes things. And we think that there's boogeymans coming out of the closet. But the fact of it is he is trying to describe something in terms that he would understand and people of his time would understand. But it was all new. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is new. The revelation of Jesus Christ is comfort and it is peace when we fall directly into his arms in faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ to us who believe in reality is a comfort and a peace. That no matter what this world may have taken from us in the physical sense, it could not take from us in the spiritual sense because Jesus Christ is victorious. So John, he opens up and he starts sharing with us. He says, after this, and people get all carried away with the after this. After the sealing of the 144,000. I don't have any great insight. Except for the fact is God's promise is true. And he promised to preserve a remnant of Israel. And he has done that, and he shows forth of that, of each tribe. It's very interesting. But the fact of it, he says, after this great sealing, he says, that's not the end. That's not the end. See, we turn around in this day and age and we have all kinds of people or different religions that'll tell us, well, that's it, the number's full, you're out of luck. That's false. If we continue to read on in the hope that is offered, if we continue to read on in the promises of God, we would see very plainly, he says, and look, he says, behold, there was a great multitude. How often do we preach that? How often do we preach that before the throne of God, there was a great multitude, not a select few, not maybe the boys that thought like me, or the girls that thought like you, or vice versa? How often do we preach in reality limitations on the hand of God? He says there was a great multitude that no one could number. Immeasurable. Like the grace of God that is immeasurable. We like to put limitations as human beings. We like to figure out who can get it and who can't. But that's not what this speaks. There will be a limitation. There's no doubt about it. And that'll come at the end of our text, will it not? Those who have been washed. But the opportunity is for all. The opportunity is there. But sometimes we're so worried about making people meet our standard, we won't even offer them the opportunity. He said there was a multitude that no one could number from where? Every nation. From all the tribes and the peoples and the languages. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in these white robes and they had these victory palms, as we would say, in their hands. And they were crying out with a loud voice, were they not? The scripture says they were crying out in a loud voice. And it's showing ownership even with this crying out. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation comes by no other name. Salvation doesn't come in the name of a denomination. Salvation doesn't come in any other name but by Jesus Christ alone. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Do we understand the victory that we have received in and through Jesus Christ? Do we understand the victory that even our loved ones who have gone on have attained in and through Jesus Christ? The hope and the strength. I find it interesting because even when we were dealing with some of the individuals that would go on, they would be in nursing homes or they would be in hospitals and things like that. Not one of them, not one of these saints that had gone on ever talked to me about the worldly goods. The closest that anyone came to it was Catherine. She told me she wanted a closed casket, and I said, okay, that's fine. Why do you want a closed casket? Because I don't have anything good to wear. That's as close. But she didn't ask me to go shopping either. Their thoughts were not on these things, but yet when I spoke with dear sister Catherine, she was more than ready. More than ready, though disease was robbing her. Same with Phyllis. She was more than ready. Not ready to leave loved ones, but understanding the victory and the hope that is there. Understanding the victory and the hope that continually abides with us while we dwell here upon earth until it becomes sight in the heavenlies. You know it's true. You know you shared with your loved ones. You know you spoke with them. One of the greatest things that I even love about Lori Lappe, every time he met me, he would say, feed the sheep. That was the message upon his lips, that we would continue to bring this hope to a world that needs to hear it, that we would be encouraged that it is beyond just the material good, but rather it is greater. There is something that cannot be taken, that eternal glory. He says they were crying because salvation belongs to God. It is His. He is the one to give. He is the one to provide. And all the host of heaven basically is coming around. And it says the angels were standing around the throne and the elders. And the King James says living beasts. But really all it is the living beings. It sounds scarier when you say beasts. I remember being a young kid reading this and thinking there was big monsters up there waiting. But the fact of it is, it says they were living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne. And they worshiped God. Why? Because they understand the gift that has been given. They understand the hope and restoration that is there. They rejoice. Do we turn around and do we rejoice even at the thought? The thought of a crowd so big that it can't be counted before that throne. Do we rejoice in the hope of restoration for all those souls that are lost? Do we rejoice in the hope of comfort and peace that can come to those that are burdened and struggling? Do we rejoice even with these individuals? Do we fall before our God and worship Him and praise Him for the greatness that He has given and shown and the mercy and the strength that He provides? This is how we move forward. This is how we move forward each and every day. Because of the greatness that He has given to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The whole host of heaven comes around and they're saying, let it be, or all men, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Let it be this way. May it be so. Do we praise and do we worship Him even in this time? Thanks be to God that He has redeemed us and that He has purchased us through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now that we, if we have that understanding, do we bring it to a world that needs to hear it? Do we bring it to our neighbors? Do we bring it to our family? Do we enter out into this world with boldness and say, we are the redeemed of Jesus Christ, and He has purchased each and every one of us. Believe ye this message. Do we enter into a world that is burdened with sin and struggle and turmoil? And do we enter into this world with a victorious message? There is no need to cry. There is no need to mourn. For there is victory in heaven and it is ours. This is the proclamation that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Do I get passionate about this? Yes, because it's true. Because if we only have this hope in this life, we are of all people most miserable. But there is something greater to have. There is a hope that is beyond our imagination, and the angels of heaven see it, and the living beings of heaven see it, and the elders see it, and they fall before God in worship. Who could ever imagine such a great thing? Are you getting that on Facebook? Are you getting it with your Twitter account? Are you getting it through the economics of your job? There is something much greater than all of this. It is the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the strength and the authority of His Word that we can move through this life and be bold in His Spirit and encourage the body and encourage those that have gone through difficulty and encourage those that will be going through difficulty. The whole host of heaven rejoices over what God has done for us. Can we not do the same? Can we not learn from the experiences of our days and encourage those? When we get done with our experience, are we just like, wow, glad that's over? Or can we turn around in this life, in this day and age, and understand that we are the ambassadors of this gospel and that God has allowed us to come through a tribulation that we may encourage somebody else? Can we take our eyes off ourselves and look to the other? Can we serve? They're praising Him. They're thanking Him for something that is so unimaginable. Writers of old have spoken that the angels even sit in awe over what God has done for humankind. Do we? Do we sit in awe for what God has done for us? You could take it as simple as this. We talk about we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. What did you do besides maybe setting your alarm clock do to get up this morning? What did you do while you were laying in that bed sleeping, if you can sleep or can't sleep, to keep your heart beating, to keep your blood flowing, to keep oxygen going through your body? Do you see how your Creator takes care of everything for you? He loves you. He desires to have relationship with you, and He calls for you to have relationship with Him. He desires it so greatly that He gave His only begotten Son to take our place upon that cross. The angels in heaven sit in awe over this. Great theologians have marveled over this. How? How does the righteous, the only righteous one, give Himself for the unrighteous? False religions of the world can't understand it because they ask, what God dies for His people? There's been meeting halls filled to the brim where people have asked questions as, what makes Christianity different of all religions in the world? Highly educated people sitting in that room sit and wonder. It is grace. Unmerited favor. Every religion of this world demands something from you. The true faith, Christianity, is the only one that asks nothing. And God Himself gives. The angels of heaven fall in worship and praise Him, the elders, and all others. And this elder comes to John, and he turns around and he says, you're taking this in, aren't you, John? You see this throng of people that no one can number. Boy, we like to number people, don't we? Every Sunday we count in here. And then even in our federation, we say, well, we're down to about 7,000 people in the federation. We're at 14,000, 50 years ago? We're doing well. We like to figure out how many are in this group and how many are in that group. We love to number things. With God, there is no number. Because His purpose is not the number. His purpose is each and every one. When we think in number, we also think of exclusion, where God has offered this to the world. He says, what do you think of this, John? Who are these that are wearing these robes? And where did they come from? Can you imagine that? This is more than Apostolic Lutherans. This is more than the Pentecostals. This is more than the Baptists. This is more than the Roman Catholic Church. There is a number that cannot be numbered. Where did they come from, John? And who are they? They are dressed in these pure white robes. Who are they? John turns around and he answers. He says, sir, you know. Tell me. And I think this is such a human answer. I think it's a bold human answer, and I might be taking this in the wrong way, but when I look from my standpoint, I do take it in this way. I never dreamed it could be possible. I figured for sure if you don't come through these doors, you're not going to make it. But the fact of it is, John says, you know, tell me. Tell me who they are. And the elder turns around and he answers. He says, these are the ones that are coming out of the great tribulation. And they've had their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ by faith. See, this is the ultimate thing when we start dealing with the understanding of salvation. Salvation, we love to break it down in our human standards and we like to figure out who's in and who's out. We like to number these things, but the fact of it is we cannot. We'll turn around in our understanding and we'll bring it even to the Apostolic Lutheran side of things and say, well, if I don't lay hands on you, you're not in. That's not true. Show me according to Scripture. We'll have different groups that'll break it down and say, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not in. That's not true. Why do I say these things? Or if you're not baptized by our group, or whatever it may be. Now, don't get me wrong. These are beautiful gifts. Every one of them. But the fact of it is, it's not a system of men. In each and every example of the coming of the Holy Spirit found within the book of Acts, there is one key ingredient found in every one of those scenarios, whether it's baptism, whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's laying on of hands or preaching of the gospel. What is the key ingredient? Faith. It is of faith. All these other things are beautiful and wonderful and they should be cherished, but they are not the standard. They are not the system of men to be followed, because God understands that's who we are. We are system worshipers. And the fact of it is, He calls us to be children of faith. And so when we turn around and we understand this, these individuals, they came out of this great tribulation. Yes, they did. Have you had tribulation in your life? Maybe yours may not be to the degree of your neighbor. I don't know. It might be worse. It might be better. I don't know. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen body. We go through difficulty each and every day. And the fact of it is, he says, these are those that have continued and endured and gone through these tribulations. And they have had their robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. They have lived victoriously by faith in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what are we representing to the world? Are we representing a system of men? Or do we take even a beautiful part of Scripture and hold that to be the only way, when yet Scripture shows many? There is salvation only in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ by faith. It's even called in the gospel a gift of God. A gift of God. He says they have had their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and they serve Him night and day in His temple. And it's interesting, I remember speaking with an individual from more of the witness background. And they told me, that sounds boring. That sounds boring. This is in New England when I was out there and I was sitting at one of their meetings. And I said, what do you mean that sounds boring? Well, it sounds boring that you'd sit before the throne of God and serve Him all day long. I'd rather be here on earth in the new heaven and new earth and doing my thing. How vain. First and foremost, we're missing something here. I sure hope as believers in Jesus Christ, we are serving Him now. I sure hope that we're not just waiting, you know, I'm going to do what I want today, and maybe when I get to heaven, I'll start serving Him. This would be a good idea. I hope that's not how we're living. I pray that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that He brings forth this heart of service. How do we see the heart of service? In serving God, yes. But where do we see Him? In our brothers, in our sisters, throughout this world. We even look at a wonderful saint as Mother Teresa. And we look at her and they say, why? Why would you go to all these leper fields? Why would you serve all these people for all these years? And she made a simple answer. She said, how can I not? When I see them, I see Christ. She served her God. What you think of the church means nothing. She was acting in faith and serving. Do we have the same heart? Do we have the heart to serve? And when you turn around, he says that they was before the throne and they were serving Him night and day in the temple. And He who sits on the throne, well, what? And this is the other part that we miss. He will serve them too. See, we miss this oftentimes. But it says that even when we get to heaven, that we will serve Him and we will worship Him and we will praise before the throne, no doubt about it. And we praise before the throne of God right now. And God also serves us. I'm not talking in a fashion where now He must become my little genie in a bottle and give me all the gifts I want in life. The greatest service that He's shown was upon that cross and the redemptive work. He surrendered everything to give us everything. And when we seek from Him, even in this day and age, when we go home tonight, when we leave here today, and we pray, God, please help me in this situation, He continues to serve us. He ministers to us in and through His Holy Spirit. He ministers to us in and through His body. If we can believe, as believers in Jesus Christ, we enter into the world and serve others because we see Christ, is it also not Christ serving us back? Have we lost sight of the church? Has the church become just a system where we do and we feel and we act according to our own thoughts? Or do we move according to faith and in service one to another and truly serving God? He says that now they sit there and they serve Him and they worship Him. But they will hunger no more, they will thirst no more. The sun will not strike upon them, they will not be the burden, nor scorching heat. The opposite of the curse. Very interesting. The opposite of curse. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and will guide them, and the springs of living water will come forth. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more struggle, no more disease, no more financial hardship, no more big decisions. God will take care of us. May we truly serve Him. May we be encouraged in the fact that He continually serves us because He has a heart of graciousness and love and desire for us. Every time the proclamation of the gospel is proclaimed to foreign ears in this world, it is God's service to humankind. May we continue with that. May we continue to encourage and lift Him up. May God be praised. And may we worship together here, but also knowing that we are seated in heavenly places with all the saints. For Christ truly has overcome the fallenness of this world.